not to exceed 3 minutes on any item not on the agenda. I have two, three, four, did I hear five? No. So we have four cards. Because we don't know how long today will go, we're going to be pretty strict on the 3 minutes, just so everybody knows. And Joe Heine. And then if you would care to, we would appreciate if you identify yourself to the microphone as well. Thank you.
My name's Joe Heine. I'm a resident of the Nielsen Ranch, Sproul Creek, Humboldt County. I moved there in November of 1981. That spring, I noticed that the trees on the hill above my house were all dead, the tops of the trees. Later, I learned that that was from the herbicide drift from aerial application on the Barnum timberland. Within the next 10 years, three people of less than 30 developed brain cancer. Two women in their 30s died. One young man is still surviving, having to endure seizures through the rest of his life. One of those women died at the age of 33, leaving two young children and a husband. I happen to be that husband. I'm a retired registered nurse. I'm not an uneducated man. I know where the carcinogen came from. There's not many that pass the blood-brain barrier. This is a failure of our regulatory agencies. It seems that we have to prove that a substance is dangerous to a human being rather than they have to prove it is safe. Money is the one factor in this. My wife died so somebody else can make a damn profit. I speak passionately because this still is in my soul. It was a long and protracted death. She went insane before she died. She was delusional, paranoid, and schizophrenic. I had suffered this in my life. It is a failure of our government, a failure of society. We put money above life on all levels. Our government is dictated of what is to be law and what is to be allowed by the rich, by the 1% of this world. I just read that 14 scientists, NASA scientists, has predicted global warming will be a lot faster than we had predicted. The oceans will rise in meters, not feet. And this is going to happen in our lifetime. I am not going to have grandchildren because of this. The one thing they neglect to say is that most of the nuclear power plants on this planet are in that flood zone. Fukushima was tiddlywinks to what's going to happen. And you sit there and you play games worrying about how much funding you can get for your organization. You let industry ruin the environment, pumping tons of poison into the ground, aquifers for fracking? Are you insane? This is suicidal. You don't believe it? It's going to happen.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Madge Strong. Mendocino City Council, and is
this? Ms. Strong was not able to be here in person, sent an email to me and asked that I read her comment into the record, if that's okay.
I will do that. I do want to talk because I don't want to end up with these sessions. If they start to turn in 10, 20 emails, it probably wouldn't work. Yeah. But she's appeared before us, and I'll grant permission to do it this time.
Dear staff and board members of the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, I regret that I am unable to attend this morning's meeting of the Regional Board to give an update in person on the Willits Bypass Mitigation Project. As you are aware, Caltrans and its mitigation contractor, Hanford, have decided not to use herbicides for the time being. We are very grateful for this change. However, the effort to eradicate blackberries by mechanical means poses its own impacts and may be doing more harm than good.
And to our staff, because of the peculiar nature of this, we actually need Matt on the 3 minutes.
Other mitigation activities, how effective they will be in actually compensating for lost wetlands and their impact on cultural resources are still major concerns. In view of this, citizens decided to go ahead with the public meeting in Willits originally planned by Caltrans this evening. All of you are invited to this meeting, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Willits City Hall's Community Center, 111 East Commercial Street. There will be a good deal of new on-the-ground information about what is going on and how citizens and agencies may improve the results. I sincerely hope some of you will attend. Please extend this invitation to the board members as well as staff.
Okay, thank you. Brenda Adelman, and then after she speaks, Richard Ginger, you're up.
Brenda Adelman, Russian River Watershed Committee. I just want to say that my heart goes out to that gentleman who just spoke. And what happened to him is what motivates my work. And what I'm asked, there's one for each board member and then only one copy for staff. I didn't bring enough for everyone. Because I only have 3 minutes, I really can't say too much about what's in these two articles I'm asking to have passed around. But one of the articles is called Drugging the Environment. And it's all about the endocrine, the pharmaceuticals that end up in our water supply. That there is no wastewater treatment technology that takes out all chemicals. And yet, because of the drought, and it's certainly understandable, it's a difficult situation, wastewater reuse is being pushed as one of the major remedies to the problem. And I'm not saying it should not be used at all, but that not enough care goes into dealing with these issues. They're put off into the future by saying we need to study them further. They're not really addressed, although I want to credit this board for generating a study of the Russian River that'll start next year to look at this issue. But pesticides are another big part of it, but this article deals with all of the pharmaceuticals that are being found in the water and in the wastewater. The other article is about wastewater irrigation on farms contaminates food, that there are studies being done showing the wastewater irrigation gets into the plants and we eat the plants. And the results of this are we're losing species, all kinds of things are happening to species, and I know none. I've been talking to fishery groups for this for 20, 25 years, and they totally ignore me. They don't even discuss the issue, and I want to thank this board for having an open mind and considering it. I know your choices are limited as to what you can do about it, except you could be the leaders in talking about it and pushing for to have something done beyond what is being done now. It's really not enough given what's happening to real people. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony, and I will take to heart your comment on us looking at a limited set of options that we can do, but I think that's a good comment that we ought to take a look
Thank
at.
Thank you very much.
Richard Ginger. And then Anne Maurice is up after Richard.
Some must say going home week. Richard Ginger, board and chair. Back from Whirlwind Drive across the country and back, and I had a shower in Motel 6 this morning. And I don't know if it was on or not. The showers in Ohio and in Kentucky, there was a shower. I said to check and see whether it was on, if you get the understanding on that situation. I wanted to address you in this time a really important matter that many of you are aware of and maybe some less so. The Timber Regulation and Forest Restoration Program, the actual process for that is kicking in. This comes out of AB 1492, which did away with all fees for timber harvest plans and put that burden, as well as for forest restoration, on taxes, it's not a tax, it's a fee on lumber products. And they're starting to pick people to be on an advisory committee by the public. And also, they're supposed to have a hearing next month or in October on actually carrying out these pilot projects that maybe some of you heard about that Wesley Chesbrough had three bills for. This is to actually take a look at real watersheds in real time with a real set of stakeholders to see what information has been developed in the harvest plan, its value to all of you, including you as a review agency, and to the public, and try and pare down to actually make the reforms that are called for in AB 1492, efficiencies, ecological performance, restoration, reduction of greenhouse gases, sequestration of carbon. All these things are coming into one big process. Greg is involved or will be involved in some regard in this process, but this is sort of the last chance. You know, we've had all these SRP reports, both the Water Quality Scientific Review Panel report and the one that Gary Reinierson headed up for NOAA Fisheries Agreement with Resources Agency, the Hoover Commission report. All these things are about needed reforms, and this is going to be the last chance, and it's funded by the public. And your full board participation is needed, and you need to encourage full board public representation. For instance, the restoration community has basically been segregated from the forest practices, and the forest practices and harvest plans actually generate the information that you could base a recovery program involving rural economies as well as recovery of fisheries on a really broad scale. And this is important for you all to know and support, and let's really get something out of it. It's sort of the last chance. Thanks.
Okay. Actually, Richard, I think your comments are pretty timely. Might be good to get a letter, and then I may call you for clarification of certain points of it.
Mr. Chair, just wanted to follow up with Richard's comment. Personally, I thought he made a very good suggestion. If in the future you ever wanted to follow this up and have a representative of the Resources Agency come and talk to the board about 1492 and the program and the excise tax on lumber, Russ Henley, the undersecretary for the Resources Agency, is taking the lead on that, and I'm sure he'd be happy to come before us. I'm going to say he'd be happy to come before us.
Yeah.
And give
that's
us
how we get the rejection.
But anyway, I just wanted to thank Richard for his comments, but I think we have good contacts. I am involved in the process. I think we could get good representation here and see where we fit into the whole thing.
I think that both of you have very excellent suggestions, and I will see what I can do to get something to come back to the board to schedule things. And
in some quarters, Russ is called the Timber Czar now, and you all know that YG Gentry is now present for the CFA. Thank you.
Yes.
And this is Matt St. John. Just to add, just to make sure board members are aware that our staff are part of the advisory committee related to AB 1492, both Jim Burke and Fred Blatt. And I sincerely support having stakeholder involvement through that process.
And what I look in the near future is we're starting to increasingly look at interagency coordination and those types of issues. So I think Board Member Gusti's right on the mark that we actually ought to take that information, get a presentation here, and if staff feels secure with it, get have it supplemented by some of the other parties as well.
We'd be happy to do that again. As a reminder, I mean, we last September, the joint meeting that we held with the Board of Forestry, Russ Henley was one of the presenters, and primarily talking about 1492, but we'd happy to bring him back.
Well, a little bit, my take on that, I was very appreciative of the Board of Forestry. It was one less historic, wasn't a first, it was a second. I guess I got reminded by Andrea Tuttle of that. But we didn't take any action on that. We've had no follow-up on that, and I'm hoping we take that up actually in strategic planning. So that's my concern, and it was dealing – with a lot of explanation of the two agencies' programs and not so much what we can do and how we can work together. And so I'd like to follow up on it.
Great.
All right. Anne Marie. Sorry.
Anne Maurice, Ad Hoc Committee for Clean Water. Speaking of interagency collaboration, I would suggest that you sever what I would call an unholy alliance with the Department of Fish and Game. What they did in this, I'm sorry that the liaison with the State Water Resources Board is not here, because I would like to have him consider this issue. What happened when the State Water Resources Board decided to pass a regulation in the West County, which turned out to be highly controversial, totally inappropriate, very poorly written, and we're told that by about 200 people at each of the five meetings that were held around the area. What happened was the Department of Fish and Wildlife joined with the State Water Resources Board and wanted riparian landowners, people who live near creeks, to agree to a voluntary drought initiative. At the bottom of the page, it said that it was required that these landowners give access to the Department of Fish and Wildlife for the purposes of planting and capturing wild coho. Now, with great respect to the gentleman who is sitting behind me, the first person to speak, what we are doing to ourselves, poisoning ourselves, we are also doing to Fish and Wildlife. I would suggest, let me ask, do you know where these wild coho that they want to capture and so-called rescue in the creeks are going? They're going to the coho captive breeding project at the fish hatchery. So if the Department of Fish and Wildlife had credibility, we would all say hooray to the coho captive breeding project. They clearly want to enhance coho. What's the reality? Are you aware of the reality? Do you realize that these fish are raised in captivity entirely? No access to the ocean. They are bred like aquarium fish or farmed fish. From what I can tell, entirely in fresh water. This is not wild coho. This is not what should be the lifespan of wild coho. They're fed a powdered processed fish food containing gluten, by the way, not freshwater insects, which is their natural prey as juveniles. They're exposed repeatedly to antibiotics, injected with them. Their eggs are bathed in formaldehyde, and they have to be dosed with artificial sex hormones to get them to reproduce, to get them to produce milk, and to get them to produce eggs in the abundance that they require, that they are looking forward to. Why do you have to expose them to artificial sex hormones? Because we all know that animals do not breed well in captivity. What kind of captivity? 30, 40, 50 perhaps are swimming around in a circular 20-foot tank. They spend their adult lives swimming in circles in fresh water. What do these fish want to do? What have they been genetically created to do? They created themselves to do to swim as far as the Aleutians out in the open ocean under their own power.
And then you need to sum up?
Yes, oh, sorry. That is what they are supposed to do. That's what they're doing. So what happens when you subject animals like this? You're creating a domesticated species suited to fish farming. And I call it an unholy alliance because the Department of Fish and Game has lost credibility. It looks like they are serving industry rather than the fishery and rather than the people. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I believe that completes our public comments. And so we will then move on the agenda. We have